This is Bristol Bay and Beyond. It's Friday, December 16th. I'm Dave Benninger. We're glad to have you on board today. Coming up this week, the president-elect is picking his cabinet, and a Republican-majority Congress will head back to work next month. Senator Dan Sullivan offers thoughts on his priorities.
Bringing back strong economic growth and opportunity, and it is a theme that I think a lot of the president-elect's cabinet selections are focused on, and I think that's a good thing.
Last week, we told you about a business that's booming this winter. This week, one that's going to shut down for the time being.
We just wanted to spend more time together as a family over the winter months, and we thought this would be a good opportunity to do that.
We'll profile one of the region's top wrestlers vying for a state title this weekend. New Studiohawk's 113-pound Blunka Blunka Jr., known better as Mantu.
Mantu, in his first years, he was eaten to make 98 pounds. So he was a small baby, but he grew up.
That he did. Plus, we ask a couple of younger Eagles to tell us about their seasonal hopes.
What do you want for Christmas, Tristan?
Presents.
Those stories, hiccups and all, coming up after a look back at some of this week's news. After a weekend of limited searching and continued bad weather, the National Park Service ended the official search for a downed Piper Cherokee aircraft that claimed the lives of four from Port Allsworth. Speaking Monday, NPS spokesperson Megan Rashad said aircraft had been grounded since Saturday.
We are dealing with persistent ice fog off of Lake Clark, and that is hampering the air search. The Alaska State Troopers arrived on Saturday. They were able to fly for less than an hour with their helicopter over the lake.
Boating operations were suspended first due to the ice fog, lake ice, and cold weather. Some debris from the plane was found last week. Funeral services for the Blom family and Kyle Longerbeam will be held this Sunday in Anchorage and next Wednesday in Port Allsworth. Governor Bill Walker underwent a four-hour surgery Monday to treat his recently diagnosed prostate cancer. The governor says the operation went well and he was expecting to recover quickly. When he got back to work, his office released his proposed budget for the next fiscal year. Walker's plan includes more budget cuts, an increased motor fuels tax, and use of permanent fund earnings. APRN's Andrew Kitchenman reports from the state's capital.
Walker's proposed spending plan totals $10 billion for the coming year, but much of that is federal funding. It includes $4.3 billion for the part of the budget directly controlled by the legislature. The amount of money raised through taxes and fees is projected to increase by roughly $180 million. But that still leaves a large gap that Walker would like to close, with legislation that would draw nearly $2 billion from permanent fund earnings and keep dividends at $1,000 per person.
The governor's fiscal plan has been sent to the legislature, which reconvenes next month. Dillingham's Subway restaurant will close Sunday for the remainder of the winter. Franchise owner Andrew Burkowski says it's a decision based on spending more time with his family. He says the business, which crossed its two-year anniversary this week, has been successful. It's also something he never thought he'd own forever.
My intention was just to have a restaurant to go eat at. I never intended to own it, but I'm glad I did. It's been a very good experience for us, and it's been a very good thing for this town. So we did put it up for sale, and I hope someone buys it and carries on the great franchise.
Burkowski says he plans to open either way next May. After several weeks of well below average temperatures, much of southwest Alaska swung back the other way this week with above freezing temperatures and rainy weather for most. The change was unwelcome, but NWS forecaster Bob Clay in Anchorage says it may not last long. The winter outlook still hasn't changed.
The January through March outlook is supposed to be for colder and drier. However, that doesn't preclude, you know, short periods in between that where we will see warm-ups and more precipitation. But on an average, we're expecting the January through March to be colder and drier.
Slippery roads from rainy conditions caused at least one accident with injury in Dillingham this week, plus numerous slide-offs. Further out west, the stormy weather in the Bering Sea produced hurricane-force winds around Shemya and kicked seas upwards of 50 feet Thursday. On Tuesday this week, a personal locator beacon alerted local authorities to a person in distress out by Snake Lake west of Dillingham. State troopers began a hasty search for 68-year-old Mike Branson, who has been building a homestead site on the west side of the Snake River. He walked out through the night to the lodge at the boat launch, where authorities were able to reach him later in the day. Alaska State Trooper Sergeant Luis Nieves says Branson was suffering from cold exposure and other injuries from the long trek out.
Mr. Branson reported to us that at one point he had been wandering around for 12 hours and out of desperation after firing off several rounds from his firearm, essentially running out of ammunition, activated his PLB.
Branson was taken to the hospital for treatment. The community of Stebbins will begin hauling water in by trucks by the start of next week, if not earlier, as they continue dealing with the ongoing water crisis. Stebbins' water supply has been limited since the community's diesel pump broke down and the water transmission line froze last month. And in local sports news, wrestling regionals in New Stujahok last weekend sorted out those who will compete at state this weekend. Dillingham head coach Willie Savo's team took first at regionals.
We're not too bad. We'll go into state with 16 wrestlers, which is more than we've taken in the past. You know, I've coached, this is my third year, so this will be the most I've taken to a state tournament.
Action gets underway today in Anchorage. And last weekend, the UAA Seawolves volleyball team took second in the NCAA Division II tournament after falling to Concordia St. Paul in the championship game. UAA's head coach Chris Green says it was a great experience for his young team.
Hopefully we learned something tonight, learned what it takes to be a national champion, you know. So hopefully we take something away, the young kids, our returners take something away from this match. And, you know, they know. Now we know.
That was the best finish in the program's history. More on this week's news can be found at our website, kdlg.org.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, fa la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, fa la 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 la. Troll the ancient yuletide carol, fa la 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 la.
This is Bristol Bay and Beyond on KDLG. I'm Dave Bendinger, and that was two youngsters from the local elementary school by the names of August and Honor. More previews of next Monday's Christmas concert ahead through the next half hour. We'll start this week's show with politics. President-elect Donald Trump is naming his cabinet choices, some of whom will play large roles in the lives of Alaskans, like the head of EPA and Interior, etc. Before they are seated, each will need to be confirmed by the Senate. Dan Sullivan, a Republican who unseated Democrat Mark Begich for his Senate seat 2 years ago, is back in Alaska for the holiday and joined me yesterday by phone. Senator, what sort of priorities do you see that the Republicans such as yourself will aim for, and how will that change life for Alaskans, better or worse?
Well, you know, Dave, I certainly hope it's for the better, but one of the things that I've been focused on, and it's important all over the state, it's actually important all over the country, is to grow our economy, to create economic opportunity. And, you know, in my discussions with the president-elect and the vice president-elect and members of their team, they're very focused on that, creating economic opportunity, growing the economy much stronger. We've had very weak economic growth as a country and even as a state. And, you know, Dillingham, Bristol Bay is a key engine of the economy of Alaska, and we want to make sure everybody has opportunities. That's going to be my focus, and I think, importantly, that's going to be their focus.
I noticed that the president-elect had sort of co-opted one of your pieces of legislation, which was a sort of a red tape removal bill. Had you discussed that with them to pull a few regulations out each time a new one is added?
Yeah, I actually did have a discussion with him about that, and you know, we had given his team a version of that bill a number of months ago. But, you know, the whole issue of the overregulation of our economy, I'll tell you, in one area it doesn't get a lot of press, but in the fishing community, our men and women in that community, I like to say, are the ultimate small businessmen and women. They produce an amazing product. They take risks. They work hard. They often pass down their business, the family members, but they're, I think, very much overregulated. And so the ability to not have so many regulations on our fishing community is very important, and I'm going to keep pushing for that. I know a lot of folks in the region have raised that issue with me, and we're going to continue to do that, particularly from my position on the Commerce Committee.
Senator, let me run two names by you real quick. Donald Trump has tapped Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt to lead the EPA and Montana Representative Ryan Zinke for the Interior post. Those are two very prominent roles within the Alaska landscape here. And I would say, as far as the regulations go, some people will see some good coming out of EPA and Interior, and some people will see some bad. What do you think about these two gentlemen for these two roles?
Well, you know, Dave, first, kind of more broadly, as you know, the Senate plays an important role in terms of confirming nominees. So you get an opportunity to also put forward what are our priorities in Alaska, because they need to pay attention because they want to get confirmed. So when it comes to Attorney General Pruitt, I think he's going to be a strong choice as an EPA administrator. And again, going to this issue of the economy, you know, there's this whole discharge permit issue, which really bedevils our fishing community, has been a big concern. I don't know him very well, but he's testified in front of my committee on the Environment and Public Works Committee in the Senate. And one thing I'm excited about to work on with him, we just passed the Waters and Harbors Act, commonly called the WERDA bill, and I got a new provision in there all about having the EPA focus a new program on helping small communities that don't have water and sewer.
Out here in Bristol Bay in particular, I think a nominee like Attorney General Pruitt leaves people concerned that the progress made with EPA's involvement in the Bristol Bay watershed will be reversed. Do you get that sense? Is that the right course if that were to happen? What's your position there?
You know, I haven't spoken to the Attorney General about that issue. Obviously, I certainly will inform him on the incredible resource in terms of our fisheries that we have in Bristol Bay. And so, you know, I don't anticipate any major change with what's going on there, but I will keep you informed when I have a discussion with him on that topic.
You've seen the rest of some of the president-elect's cabinet choices with Exxon Chief Rex Tillerson for the Department of State, our fellow Bella Woodsman General Mattis for defense there, and Governor Rick Perry for energy and such. In a broad sense, do you think the president-elect is making good choices? Is this a good cabinet? Do you have some concerns?
Well, you know, like we talked about, Dave, I think a lot of his choices are people who have been in leadership positions. Even Rex Tillerson, they've all run big organizations. But I think the common theme is to get our economy growing again. And on the domestic front, I think that's really important. You know, we've had a decade of very, very anemic, slow economic growth throughout the country, even in Alaska. And I think one of the most important things we can do in the federal government is to help our citizens have opportunity. You know, the last time I was out in Bristol Bay and Dillingham, I met with a lot of the veterans, but I also heard a lot of concerns about what's been going on with some of the addiction issues, the heroin and opioid challenges. And as I've met our constituents from that region, they've raised it with me. It's an issue that I'm very, very focused on. Congress has passed a bill that is going to have $1 billion to help communities throughout the country deal with this opioid and heroin addiction epidemic. But here's the issue. Those kind of social issues, whether it's addiction or, you know, domestic violence, a lot of times you see spikes in these where you have communities that don't have economic opportunity. I'm very convinced that these are all related. And if we can have our young people and have Alaskans see that they have unlimited potential in terms of what they can do with their future in terms of jobs and opportunity for them and their families, I think we also start to address some of these broader social challenges that are hitting a lot of our communities. And it is a theme that I think a lot of the president-elect's cabinet selections are focused on, and I think that's a good thing for Alaska and the country.
Senator Dan Sullivan, home for the holidays ahead of the start of the 115th Congress next month back in D.C. Senator Sullivan, it's always good to have you on this program. We appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir, Dave. Thanks, and Merry Christmas again to everybody, and Happy New Year. And I certainly look forward to getting back out to the region. And until then, please, I want all the listeners to know our door is always open. We want to see everybody and hear from everybody, but wish everybody a blessed holiday season. Thanks a lot.
Yes, those are ukuleles, and yes, they still have a few kinks to work out ahead of Monday's concert. Kids there from the elementary school in Dillingham. We learned this week that Bristol Bay's only fast food franchise will be closing till the spring. Andrew Burkowski is the owner of the Subway in Dillingham. He sat down this week to talk about how the business has done so far and the reason behind closing for the winter.
We just wanted to spend more time together as a family over the winter months, and we thought this would be a good opportunity to do that.
To slow down a bit here.
To slow down our pace as a family, yes, so okay. That we could spend more time together.
Okay. Subway has been open 2 years as of Thursday this week.
Correct.
And it was our first fast food franchise in Dillingham that I'm aware of.
Me too.
Has it been successful so far?
It has been successful. It has superseded my expectations. The first five months were beyond our expectations, but even after business tapered and found a happy medium, it has still continued to do very well. During this 2 years, as of Thursday, we've made 91,000 subs. And if you were to take all those subs, put them end to end, it was just over 13 miles of food. So it's a lot of food in 2 years to feed a town of only 2,500 people.
I don't want to know how many cookies we've eaten.
I actually can tell you that.
Oh, boy.
We'll move on.
Yeah, yeah. What about the most popular sub? Do you have any idea what that's been?
Absolutely. By far, it's the steak and cheese.
Oh, really?
Steak and cheese by just over 5,000 of them.
How many of us double the meat?
Deluxed actually was like 1,600. Deluxes.
What have you learned as a business owner? You're not new to small business. What have you learned as a franchise owner?
As a franchise owner, I have learned that the franchise is really there to help small business owners like myself. It has been much easier to do work with a franchise than just start your own business because they have been jumping the hurdles and potholes for the last 30 some odd years, and they've really done a great job in helping little franchisees like myself become much more successful.
All
so
right.
I recommend the franchise, like Subway.
We hate to see it close because I know a lot of folks appreciate the option. And I also know that you've had a chance to train a lot of good employees with those corporate mandated requirements. And it looks like it's been a good job for a lot of people so far. But you do plan to open again in the spring.
Yes, actually somewhere right around May. And we have had, I think, the best employees in Dillingham. I've been very thankful for them. We could not have run this business without those employees. And we look forward to getting all of them or some of them back.
Okay. And last question is, you also announced that you want to find a buyer and sell the business.
Yes. It's been a good experience. My intention was never to own Subway. I was just tired of our lack of options, places to eat. So I called Subway up one day and said, hey, you need to come to Dillingham. It was a selfish reason, and they said, no, but you can open it for us. And I said, no, and they called me back and said, no, you really need to open a Subway there. So my intention was just to have a restaurant to go eat at. I never intended to own it, but I'm glad I did. It's been a very good experience for us, and it's been a very good thing for this town. So we did put it up for sale, and I hope someone buys it and carries on the great franchise. And I guarantee you I'll be there. Number one customer.
All right. Andrew Burkowski, thanks so much. We look forward to seeing it back open. Sorry to hear that it will be closing, but I'm sure you have exciting stories to tell about running a small business in town when all is said and done.
It's been a good experience.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Cassidy Knutson, and I'm 9 years old. I'm in fourth grade. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They wouldn't let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games.
Thank you, Cassidy, for helping remind us that there are just 9 days till Christmas. Well, if it's down to the wire to find that perfect gift for a certain youngster, we'd like to have your back on this program. KDLG's Avery Lill checked around to see what was on the minds of some new Stewiehawk youth as Christmas draws nigh.
Mika.
How old are you, Mika?
7.
What do you want for Christmas?
A pony, because they're my favorite. Skyra.
How old are you, Skyra?
7.
What do you want for Christmas?
A Flippy Zoo. It's a toy that's stuffed and it's a different animal, and then we could, and when we flip it, it'll turn into a different animal.
And how old are you?
5.
What do you want for Christmas?
Lots of babies.
Talk about me. And what do you want for Christmas?
Okay. Your children to have Christmas tree.
What's your name?
Tristan.
Tristan? And what do you want for Christmas, Tristan?
Presents.
What kind of presents?
Yep, and I'm going to get here.
You're listening to Bristol Bay and Beyond on KDLG, full of holiday cheer this week. The high school wrestling season will come to an end after this weekend, as top wrestlers are grappling for a spot on the podium as we speak at the state tournament in Anchorage. Wrestling is a sport like no other, says Robin Cheney, who prefers the title activities coordinator.
Don't call me a booster. Don't call me a den mom. Don't call me
a den mom.
Do not. I'll punch you square in your face.
All right, I'm going to save that piece of paper.
Don't. Don't call her a den mom when she gets back. Don't. Janie loves what this sport requires of the young athletes.
Wrestling's fantastic. It's the only sport that I know with blood time. So you sign up for that, and you've signed up for one of the most challenging things you can do in your life. And if you can survive wrestling, you can do anything in your life. You learn how to deal with extreme failure and pain. You know how to deal with winning and that kind of elation. It's a sport for a lifetime.
You see the character development that comes with the sport, with the coaching, with the wins, the losses, the struggle, the strain, all of it.
You know, there's a saying, the first round goes to the kid with the most skill, the second round goes to the kid with the greatest stamina, the third one goes to the round with the kid with the biggest heart. And that's pretty much how it works out at state. You get kids that are done, you know, second or third round, they're pooped, they're emotionally drained. And that's what's fantastic about wrestling, is you see kids in there who, you know, and one of my favorite wrestlers in our region who's not going to state is Logan Phelps. That kid's got the biggest heart. You know, you always want to leave it all on the mat. You never have any doubt when a match is finished if he's given it his all, because he has. And those are the kids that win titles.
Phelps wrestled at 113, competing with Dillingham's Justin Dye and New Stewiehawk's Blunka Blunka Jr. That weight class has provided some of the most thrilling action all season. KDLG's Avery Lill traveled up to New Stu last weekend for regionals, where Blunka took first in a close match over Dye. When he comes home from this weekend, the Eagle wrestler is hoping to do so as a state champ.
The competition between wrestlers Justin Dye and Blunka Blunka Jr. has been close all year, making the 113 weight class one of the most interesting to watch in Southwest Alaska's Sockeye Conference. Justin's father, Jason Dye, says the two have been going at it for years.
They're roughly the same age, same grade, and so they started wrestling in middle school. And, you know, I think at this point they're both pretty high level, so it's definitely, they're fun matches to watch. And like I say, Blunka's seems to have stepped it up a little, and he's been coming out on top for the most part this year. So it's been, on one hand, really frustrating, but on the other hand, it's really good, I think, to help sharpen skills to have somebody that good in your region.
As the two wrestled at the Sockeye Conference Regional Tournament last weekend in New Stuyahawk, the crowd was dynamic. The New Stuyahawk gym was packed. The mostly hometown crowd was wild for Man 2. It's a nickname Blunka Blunka Jr. says he's had since birth. The wrestlers grappled in a fierce match, trying each other's strength and scrambling on the mat. That's where Blunka excels, says coach Justin Gumlichpuck.
Well, he scrambles. He doesn't give up easy points and just a scrambler. He gets people out of position and next thing you know, usually kids lie on their back or he gets a takedown. He has a way to wrestle. He goes underneath and waits for them to try to score, and he just spins and spins until he scores, usually. So he's not easy to score on because he scrambles so well.
Gumlichpuck has coached Blunka since middle school. He says he's seen him grow over the years as a wrestler, but also just physically.
Mantu, in his first years, he was eaten to make 98 pounds. So he was a small baby. But he grew up, I think after his freshman year, he grew like 6-7 inches, I'm thinking. Kind of matured last year when he was cutting a little bit of weight for 106 pounds when he was state runner-up. And this year is actually cutting some weight to make 113 pounds.
Blunka edged out Dye for the top spot in the region last weekend. This weekend, he's fighting for the state title. Principal Robin Jones says the community is behind him.
Oh, everyone in the community is so proud of Man 2. Win or lose, we would be proud of him, but he's approaching, this is his junior year. He was a state contender last year in his sophomore year as well. And if he were to win state, yeah, I mean, it would just be such a great thing for this community.
Pat Costello started the wrestling program in New Stuyahawk in the late 70s. He used to coach Blunka's dad. Costello was back in town to referee the tournament. And seeing Blunka wrestle for the first time, he thinks the high school junior has a shot at the state title.
If I was coaching him, I'd want him to pick up the pace earlier. I think he could score a lot more points early and put the matches more into his control. Homer's got a decent kid. I think Blunka's better than him. But I think he'll do fine. You know, I expect him to be in the top three, and depending on who's around, you know, could win it.
After the final round, Blunka changed into his hoodie and baseball cap, and you might not guess this thin, lanky teenager is all wiry muscle. Blunka seemed quietly happy with himself and excited for the state tournament.
I'm feeling pretty confident. Just go out there, do what I do best.
Between running cross-country in the off-season, working out for wrestling, and cutting weight, he says a specific goal has motivated his training.
Finish with a better record than last year.
And what was your record last year?
I think 29-5.
So far, he's 16-4. Blunka's been wrestling since he could walk, starting out in peewees. He still has his senior year to look forward to, and he's not anticipating stepping off the mat anytime soon. A couple of colleges have already offered him wrestling scholarships. If all goes well, crowds will still be cheering for Man 2 as he scrambles for years to come. For KDLG, I'm Avery Lill.
Finally this week, there's a church service in town, smaller than most, and where the visiting preachers are all but certain to have a new congregation every week. It happens in a small room upstairs of the Dillingham Jail each Tuesday and Thursday, and most of those who happen to be staying a night or two there choose to take part in the ministry. Last night it was led by Pastor Rob Scott from the Dillingham Bible Fellowship Church.
It's our hope to be able to serve everyone, and so we know that there are people here that desperately need Christ, they desperately need help and service, and to know that we still care for them and love them and want to do what we can to make sure that they live a life as fulfilling as possible.
Pastor Scott preached from the book of 2 Timothy to two men who joined, George and Charles. They were the only two guests at the jail last night, and they said they were glad for the opportunity.
Well, it's good. It teaches people about the Bible who don't know it. Some people in the Bible it says to visit people in jail, so this is pretty good, I guess. So.
Yeah, I like this gives somebody an opportunity to come up and hear somebody preach the word that, you know, they might be stumbling on in life. And I know it helps me out, but it just, to live it every day is something different.
Well, guys, how about I pray for you?
That'd be good.
Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this evening, and I thank you for George and Charles, and I pray for your presence in their lives to bring goodness to them even now, and I plead that the things they've heard tonight, that your word would infect them and take over them, and that they would find themselves knowing and loving and following you. Give us these things, we pray. In the name of Christ we ask. Amen.
That was Pastor Rob Scott at a church service at the Dillingham Jail Thursday. That's it for this week's show. You can find this and past episodes of Bristol Bay and Beyond at our website, kdlg.org. We appreciate your feedback and welcome your story ideas. And if you have photos, an essay, a poem, or song to sing, we'd like to hear from you. Reach me at dave@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime. We'll let one more youngster sing us out, and we'll see you back here next week.
Hi, I'm Nikki Johnson, and I'm in fourth grade. I'm going to be singing Jingle Bells. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride one horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride one horse open sleigh. Hey, dashing through the snow, one horse open sleigh. Over the field we go, laughing all the way, ha ha ha. Bells on bobtailing, making spirits high. Oh, what is to ride and sing and playing song tonight. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride one horse open sleigh. Hey,
thanks.